Dear Ajahn Anand, thank you very much for your teaching the Dhamma to us. I have a question to seek your guidance about my father. He is 92 years old, and my mother passed away 2 years ago. Since then, he became very lonely, and his health deteriorated tremendously. He is unable to do his daily chores like bathing, walking, going to bed. Lately, he has sleeping problems. He kept telling the helpers that there were two people there or outside the new house. In the daytime, he like frequently mentioned about his wife and his past relatives. May I know how can we help him to overcome his present situation?
So this is the Dhamma, that separation from the light and love, that is normal for us. So this is something that we should contemplate constantly. And the Buddha told his monks that they should be constantly contemplating this. So husband and wife living together for a long time. You say he's 90 years old already, just been separated for 2 years. So they've had this bond for a very long time. And then one of them passes away, and there's separation. And then the other feels very lonely, the most lonely. And as far as I've heard, that this is how it's like for most people. And that one that stays, they're lacking encouragement or energy of heart. And that inner energy of heart is something which is important, because we rely upon one another. And so there can be this feeling of being disheartened and not wanting to stay in this life anymore. Because at that age of 90 years old, that things get very difficult already. Perhaps begin to see images of people who have passed away, and visions of them. And then they can get the feeling that I am not going to be in this world for much longer, and I am going to soon go to the next world. So there's someone who saw their daughter, but they thought it was their mother. And when this happens, it's likely to be close to the point of separating from them or them passing on. So this is the nature of sankharas, to be this way. And they often talk about the past, talk about people that they are attached to, concerned about. And so a way of fixing this is just training bit by bit. And so you can put on some Dhamma tapes, recordings of Dhamma talks, or chant the Dhamma. But if they're not quite there yet, a point of being interested in Dhamma, then you can use worldly things, things that they like, and things that give them a good mood, a good feeling. And try to talk about those things and surround them with those things frequently so that they feel at ease, and do that each day. You know, just chat about things that bring up ease into the heart and make the heart feel kind of a bit more light or feel entertained, and perhaps can take your father to different places. Because if he just stays in the same old place, then that will remind him of the people that he is separated from. And so you can bring him to new places and give some space, some time for the mind to feel more spacious, more empty. And also the sleep is something which is important. that if he's able to get a good sleep, then that'll help a lot. And so you need to talk to doctors, people who can help with that. Because if the sleep is no good, then his state will likely to just carry on like this. And so you can try chanting some Dhamma for him to listen to, put on some tapes for him to listen to, in order to bring up a happiness of heart.
Greetings, dear Longpa. Thank you for your teachings and for this priceless opportunity to practice under your guidance during this retreat. Please explain the difference between good karma and merit. Is merit just the same as good karma, be it worldly or spiritual, or is it qualitatively different, weightier in terms of its outcomes and results for our practice? With much metta and gratitude.
And so this question about merit and about skillfulness and karma is something which is quite deep. And so when we come to study the Dhamma like this, get to know the Dhamma, it can bring a lot of benefits to us. And cultivation of the mind can help to lessen the doubts that we have. And so when we get an understanding, then the heart will become more bright and joyful. So if we talk about this kusala karma, so skillful karma, wholesome karma, and so this is karma of goodness, of merit, and akusala karma is the karma of badness, or something which is not good. So we can observe then that when we do good karma through our body, speech, or mind, for example, we are generous, or we are virtuous, or we cultivate our mind, that we can gather all those together, all those different categories, and say that that is good karma. And so we do those things, and then the result of that is a happiness of heart. And that happiness of heart is merit. And so we have that, those causes, and then there is this merit and skillfulness there. And so skillfulness, this kusala, we say it's skillfulness or intelligence. In the beginning, the karma comes first, though, this action. And so there is many different kinds of this good karma that we can do. So we can help out in society, we can help the elderly, we can help to teach others without thinking of getting something in return. And we do that. All of the things that we can do through our hearts, the good karma we can produce through our hearts. So when we do those things, then we experience a happiness of heart. So just like when we chant, then that's good karma, that we experience happiness when we listen to the Dhamma. When we are training our minds like this, then we experience this happiness of heart, and there's this joy and this radiance that can come up. And so here there's the cause, and then there's the results. So a comparison that I can give that may make it clear. So it's like when there's this firm intent to do goodness. So there's that wish that's there within the hearts. And right there is the marga, the path. And so there's sila and samadhi there, and panya, which is leading the way in order to create goodness. So there's knowledge that we can use to do that. So there's worldly knowledge and also knowledge in the Dhamma, and these different in terms of their refinement. So like when we help other people, so there's the cause that we're creating, and the result of that karma is that other people come to help us. So one of the previous lives of the Buddha while he was a bodhisattva, he was in his mother's womb, and they were in a very hard state, and went to a new town. And no one in that town knew them, but there were some people who saw them, and through the barami that the Buddha had created, there was a sense of affection and love towards them that came up. And so these people, they received the bodhisattva, and it was their adopted child. So this was good karma that had been created already, that was giving its fruits. So you see that people who have created good karma, that there's a joy, a brightness to them and to their features, and that brings up a feeling in other people that they want to help them. So this karma is the cause, and then merit is the result. So like the practice that we do in the hearts, you know, sila, samadhi, and panya that we all are doing, these are causes and conditions. And the result of this is an arising of clear understanding within the mind. And that's really the case when we get to the point of seeing the Four Noble Truths, seeing into the nature of anicca, dukkha, anatta, this constant change and stress and not self. And even if we see that just a little bit, and that gives us some understanding, there's a huge amount of benefit that comes from that, and this is the very highest level of merit. And this is skillfulness, kusala, right here as well. And so this merit, it's one thing, and then there's this skillfulness, it's another. It's the intelligence, there's wisdom within it. And so therefore the good karma, this then leads to merit, and these merit and skillfulness, kusala, are connected.